section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
The best podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. On today's show, we have Aaron, Roger, and Doug to join Andrew as we discuss this month's view from the turnbuckle. So, what do we got going for Hall of Fame, Aaron?
Yeah, so the Hall of Fame class so far is Kurt Angle, your headliner, the Rock and Roll Express, Teddy Long, DDP, Beth Phoenix, and Rick Rude. Now, a lot of times they also will have maybe a stable that goes in, and of course they do have the Ultimate Warrior Award that they give out every year, so we're not sure who the recipient will be of that. But Andy, I want to ask you, compared to last year's class, do you think that this one has more star power in it, or is it one that you would much rather see than last year's?
Okay, here's my thing. I really like DDP. Rick Rude, I like him as well. Rock and Roll Express, Kurt Angle. Realistically, if you go on that list, the only one I'm like, I'm not too happy about is Beth Phoenix, but she deserves to be in. But everyone else, I'm happy with.
Now, what about you, Doug? Do you kind of feel the same way?
I think this is a decent class. I'm very happy for Kurt Angle and DDP. Rick Rude to finally get in is nice. I don't know if it's necessary. Even though he was a great heel. He really did get that persona of being the woman's man, I guess you could say. But other than that, I'm not high on the Rock and Roll Express. Is Teddy Long going in as a referee or a manager or a commissioner or, I didn't really care for Teddy Long anyway. Beth Phoenix, I do agree, should go in. Was this the best choice for a woman to go in right now? Maybe not, but she does deserve to be in.
And Roger, for you, obviously Kurt Angle fan, so you're probably pretty happy with that. But is there any other one that maybe stands out to you?
Rick Rude, actually, he surprised me. I kind of thought he was already in the Hall of Fame because, I mean, to me, when I think of the 80s and you think of that, like, classic, you know, bad guy, that's Rick Rude to me. Like, he is in that Mr. Perfect category as far as, like, guys who was really good. You know, I remember the famous tights where I think he had Miss Elizabeth's face on them. You know, like, you know, he was just, I don't know, he was that Val Venus before Val Venus was a thing. Like, he's the original ladies' man all night long, you know, the guy that the women want to see and the men want to be, like, to flip the Sable line. So I'm glad he's going in. And really, the only one I don't really necessarily think is Hall of Fame worthy is Teddy Long, and probably they'll have a celebrity would be my guess. But this is a better class, I think, than last year. Last year, to me, was pretty much a one-man show. It was Sting and a bunch of other guys who were okay, but, you know, meh. Whereas, like, these guys, Rick Rude, DDP, and Kurt Angle, no question in my mind. And I don't know a ton about the Rock and Roll Express, but I've heard good things about them, so I have no issues with this. I think it would be a good class.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I echo your sentiments. Rick Rude was definitely one that I was very happy about. And same thing with DDP as well. Now, we had Fastlane this past week, and boy, was it a show. I mean, that's pretty much what we can say about that. It was a show. I don't know if it was a good show, but it was a show. Andy, let's talk about the Roman Reigns thing. That was one of the bigger matches that happened. Roman Reigns ended Braun's win streak, and he did so fairly decisively, I would say. You know, he definitely took him down, and it was a 1-2-3. Were you happy with the finish, or is there something that maybe they kind of left on the table?
They left a lot. That's the problem that I had with this pay-per-view. I believe they basically screwed it all up. This is one of those matches that just bothered me. And it's not just because of that. It's also, there's other matches too, but, like, you can't, if someone's going to beat someone's win streak, it has to mean something. This meant nothing to me. Roger, what are your thoughts on it?
Like, I don't know. It's not just because it's Roman Reigns. Part of it is because it's Roman Reigns, but there's something to the idea of, like, this is a win streak. Braun Strowman is a dominant monster. why was he losing here? Like, to me, this is the perfect time. And as much as I really can't stand these finishes, this was the perfect time for shenanigans. Double disqualification, count out, no contest. You know, both guys can't stand after a brutal fight. Would have honestly been the best way to book both of them. Have them knock each other out and the referee counts to 10 and nobody can stand and have them carried out. It makes Roman look strong. It makes Braun look strong. You can continue the match going forward. They can pick up the feud down the line after Roman wins the title. But, you know, Fastlane is not the type of pay-per-view that you end big streaks on. You know, imagine if when Rusev had his undefeated streak that John Cena would have beat him at Fastlane. Or imagine when Bray Wyatt was undefeated that John Cena would have beat him at Fastlane. Like, that's stupid. Fastlane is not where events start and or begin. It's WrestleMania. It's 4 weeks away. That is when Braun's streak should have ended if it was going to end. So, mistake. But as I think we'll talk about for the rest of the night, that's pretty much the theme of Fastlane. Mistake.
Well, that's why I thought there would be more. I thought there's going to be a bunch of DQs for this pay-per-view, because then you could take a lot of those matches and put them in WrestleMania. And that's why I think they missed the boat on it. What are your thoughts on that, Doug?
I think they really missed the boat on this one. This was a match that, even though I know my love for Roman Reigns has been overly stated on the show multiple times, I will say it was one of the better matches, though, of the Raw. I mean, pay-per-view.
And the thing is, and I'm not knocking that, Doug, you are right. Surprisingly, this was, it's not match of the night, but in the top three matches, I would actually say this would be in the top three easily. And that's
right.
And if that tells you anything, is that Roman Reigns is doing better? I will say he is improving, but I just think that this was booked horribly. It looked like it's still the same crap, different day booking.
It is, and I mean, it was a lot of I really think that if they would have ended it like I was predicting, in either a double DQ or a draw, like you guys were saying, I would have said 10 count outside the ring. They can fight all the way up and all the way into the back, and just they 10 count it and continued it to WrestleMania. Why not? That's a match I would like to see, a false count anywhere match, or a no DQ match, or even put them in a cage so that they can't get away. And then there has to be a win. And you do. You end the streak, maybe for Braun, because they have to make Roman Reigns look strong, you know, and all that at WrestleMania. After watching Raw, you kind of understand a little bit more, but I don't like it. I think that this is something that they are going to stop a decent feud to interact something else, and then they'll probably try to pick it up later, and it won't have the drive that it should have, especially since they've been setting it up for so long and anticipating it, and then you just kind of, you know, you shoot your match a little early.
So last thing to say on this, I had no problem with the actual booking of the match if this is at WrestleMania. This is a perfect way that they could have ended their feud at WrestleMania, where he goes for a splash and Roman beats him and go, okay, no problem. I didn't like Cena beating AJ, but it made sense for him to beat him at the Rumble because it was a big event. If you do that at Chamber, that's stupid to me. So doing this at Fastlane was the issue, not because Roman went over. It was that it wasn't the right time for Roman to go over.
But also on Raw, though, the following night, Braun called Roman Reigns out, and then Braun left the ring. And I kept thinking, why don't they turn this into a triple threat? That way, since Taker is hurting so bad with his hip, you could have those two guys wrestle for a while, have Undertaker come in, work maybe 5 minutes in total of the match, take like five or six bumps, and then Taker can still get the win. And then they can argue who's weaker or whatever. You know, you could do that.
Well, see, and I think, although I agree with that, I even think to a point that if you would have had Braun and Roman beat up Undertaker, you could even, if you're, again, trying to make Roman look strong, I would accept more of a three-way match of Braun and Roman Reigns beating up Undertaker and Roman Reigns getting a pin over Undertaker. I would accept that more than just Roman Reigns getting the single win over Undertaker.
Because I think, you know, right now, with that match being almost set in stone, you know, I'm picking Roman to win that one, you know, sadly, as it is. And I agree. I think a three-way might be better. Undertaker typically doesn't do three-ways, and to have him in a three-way, especially at Mania, would probably look a little weird. But given how, you know, he's been, I mean, he didn't look very great in the ring at Royal Rumble. And, yeah, you know, he can, of course, get better. you know, in a couple of months. But I don't know. I'm a little worried even for the match itself. I don't think it'll be a good match. And I'm a little disappointed that they're probably going to put Roman over in this, because I you know, Roman stock for the rest of the year. I mean, WWE, when they do their end of the year slammies, they didn't do it this year. But I guarantee you, for 2017, wrestler of the year in WWE's eyes will be Roman Reigns, no matter what he does. It will be him, because he is going to beat everybody this year the way that they have booked him thus far.
But the thing is, realistically, he is not the wrestler of the year. I just want to point that
out
right now.
I mean, it's too early to pick. I mean, well,
yeah, I can pick now and be right. I'm just going to say AJ Styles and be right. So,
well, no, well, he was wrestler of the year for 2016 for sure. 2017, though, I could not pick one, and I couldn't have picked one a year ago today. I wouldn't have said AJ Styles, you know, for no way. But who knows what it'll be, you know, towards the end of the year. But I think in WWE's eyes, it'll be Roman Reigns.
And
I will say, for an Undertaker match, if you look at throughout his entire career, he's never had anything where he wasn't the only person on his own team. He's done nothing but singles matches. And at 19, he did a handicap match because that idiot Vinny, what was his name? The guy from prison, big roided out dude. He was on SmackDown for a while.
Oh, Vince Russo. Yeah.
No, not him, but you know what I'm talking about. He's like the guy from Australian prison dude, super huge cranium, totally on the juice. I can't think of his name. It's something Jones, I want to say.
Vinny Jones, the actor?
No, not Nathan him. Jones? Nathan Jones, thank you. That was
Nathan
the guy.
Nathan Jones, yes.
He's so irrelevant, I can't remember him. And I'm pretty good with trivia, so that's how irrelevant he was. A three-way isn't really Taker's thing. The prestige is fighting Taker, not fighting a match with Taker in it. So I get why they're going with this. But I agree with what you're all saying. It's not going to be good. And, like, look, Roman has gotten better from last year when he was Clothesline City. But he is not AJ Styles. He cannot pull a quality match out of The Undertaker, who can barely move. Like, that would require Roman to bump all over the place. And how would that make Roman look strong? So, I mean, I don't see this match going well, and I could see this match being fast. Like, I could see this being a quick, like, Goldberg-Lesnar squash, to be honest.
And no, I believe they have to make this a triple threat. I really believe that. There's no way they can get around that at this point because of Taker. I mean, he's hurt. I mean, that's we all know this. You have to have him in a three-way this time. And then he can come in, do a couple tombstones. It's over, you know, it's over 1, 2, 3. Or maybe, I don't know, he tombstone. You could actually do it a way where Taker tombstones Braun, and then Roman comes in and pushes Taker away, gets the 1, 2, 3. You could do that as well. And then Taker, I mean, he lost, but then he still looks strong to me. But anyways, the one thing that I know that they're going to book incorrectly is the Universal title, because they did at Fastlane. I mean, in 22 seconds, Goldberg is the new champion, which realistically I think makes Kevin Owens super weak. What do you think about that, Doug?
I wish, again, it was all basically everybody picked Goldberg, except for you, Andy. But honestly, I think they could have done it a little bit better. I didn't realize that they didn't even ring the bell when he started rolling out of the ring, because I was like, oh, good. This is at least going to do one thing. He's going to be able to say that he lasted longer than Lesnar. But then when they said, oh, no, he only lasted 22 seconds, the bell hadn't even rung yet. And I was like, well, then that's just a waste of time. That made completely no sense. There was no reason to that whatsoever. I have no problem with Jericho's music hitting, getting in and distracted, but at least let Kevin Owens get a hit in, maybe, or a punch in. Goldberg can stand there and not, you know, sell it or whatever, but it was horrible. That's all I can say about it. It's just absolutely horrible. They had a good thing going with, I think, Kevin Owens turning him into the more serious champion, and I thought that was a good turn for him, is to be the series champion, but they just took that away.
Yeah, and you know, to Doug's point, I think if I have to book this and WWE says, look, Goldberg has to win, he has to win convincingly, because we want him to be a credible opponent for Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, I go, all right, you know, what we need to do then is, I'm good with what Owens did at the beginning, and I agree with Doug. I would have had the bell rung, have him get out, you know, play little mind games and stuff, and actually maybe start the match a little bit, you know, like get into a grapple and actually like tussle around a little bit. It doesn't even have to be a straight up wrestling match. It could be just kind of a brawl, And then you could have Jericho's music hit. You know, then you could have him come out and distract Owens. That way Owens loses the title. I do think that this does hurt Owens a little bit because of the way that they had done it. I think that Owens, unfortunately, did not look as strong as he could have in this match. I actually think that it made him look a little bit weaker. And I think it probably hurt him going forward, in fact, too. I don't know if we'll see him with another Universal title again, unless he goes to SmackDown. You know, that was kind of my thought after this match.
I said at Survivor Series, I didn't like Goldberg in WCW. And the reason I didn't like him now and I didn't like him then is that his matches typically suck. He's had one good match in the, what are we talking about now, 20 years that we've watched him. It was with DDP at Havoc. That's it. All his matches are boring. They're squash matches. They're quick. You know, I get the shock value of beating Brock Lesnar because Brock was so dominant. But, and I said it at the time, and I'll say it again, when Brock is booked so dominant that Goldberg reasonably, like Owens can't even get a punch out because, I mean, he beat Brock in a minute or 30 seconds or whatever. So, of course, he's going to kill Owens. We all knew it. And anyone else Goldberg was ever going to face, he's going to destroy him. It's like, there's no intrigue in this match. There was no chance for Owen to retain. I mean, it's just the quicker that him and Lesnar are done with this feud and he can get away from this title and be gone, it was fine. If he would have just wrestled him at Survivor Series and left, I would have been fine. Seeing him in the Rumble didn't do anything for me. Seeing him now doesn't do anything for me. I just don't care. He bores me. Like, I know people online like to complain about Lesnar. Goldberg is 10 times worse than Lesnar. He does two moves, spear, jackhammer. That's it. Like, I don't care. I just do not care.
Do you think they're actually going to go, we'll say, a minute for this match, Roger, at WrestleMania?
At WrestleMania?
Yeah.
No, I think Brock Lesnar is going to beat him faster than Goldberg beat him at Survivor Series, so Brock can ultimately take the win in the feud. Goldberg can't wrestle. Like, he just cannot. He does not have the stamina. He sweats profusely when he hits two moves. How are they going to go even 10 minutes? Well, like, name Goldberg's moveset. Like, when's the last time you've seen him do anything other than two moves?
Hey, it's worked for Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns
isn't 50. I know a couple of other Goldberg's other moves, but that's only because I played WCW versus NWO Revenge, and yeah, he would pick the guy up, gorilla press, and then move out of the way.
He's not doing that to Lesnar. Years ago,
do you think he can do that now?
Maybe to Billy Kidman.
I was just going to say
Ellsworth.
Yeah.
Do you think Billy Kidman can take that now?
What's Ellsworth doing? You know,
did the seven-year itch finally go away? Is that what you're saying? Kidman's good.
So, obviously, this match is happening at WrestleMania now. It's for the Universal title. Andy, is this going to end the show?
If it ends yes the no? show, I'm going to be so mad about this.
No, well, here, do you think it will? Yes or no?
I hope not. But, okay, wait, hold on a second. I got to think.
Yes or no? Yes or no?
I got to think about, like, Vince. Oh, yes, it will. In fact, it's going to go 7 seconds.
Doug, end the show? Yes or no? Will it?
Yes.
And Roger?
It will.
I think so, too. I don't want it to. None of us wanted to, but I believe that it will.
So before the package, you want me to go downstairs and start setting up so when we do our after show?
Yes, actually, if you went on.
So I don't even have to bother. Hey, who won? Okay, he won. All right, we're good.
Over under, does it take him longer to get into the ring than the match?
Longer again.
Yes.
Curtain
longer.
To curtain, 9 minutes, but the match time is going to be 30
Match
seconds.
Time is two?
Yeah, two.
This main event will be worse. More poorly received than last year's Hunter versus Reigns. Guaranteed.
Yeah,
guaranteed.
The only good thing that we got out of this, though, was we are going to see Kevin Owens versus Chris Jericho at WrestleMania. Match obviously was a long time in the making. The hope was that maybe they'll even draw this out a little bit more, but they will have this at Mania. I think that'll actually be a good match. I liked what they did on Raw as well. I thought it was really great for Owens to say, no, you know what? I'm going to take you on now. He's not that, you know, chicken crap heel. Instead, he is, no, I will take you on. I will take you out as well. And I like that. You know, you don't always have to have that, you know, like heel that's so abrasive to any sort of confrontation at all.
But this is to bring Owen's stock down because he was there. He's the guy on Raw. And then I think it actually brought him down a little bit because now he has to go for the U.S. title opposed to staying in the main event.
He's not doing it just for the U.S. title, though.
Yeah, he's not doing it for the title. He's doing it to take away the title from Jericho because he got his title taken away. I do like the promo setup that Kevin Owens did. I also like the aspect of it of I'll get that title back when I decide I want that title back. And I thought that was pretty good for Kevin Owens. But you are right, Andy. Him going from the Universal title to the U.S. title yes, it is a little bit of a downgrade, but I think Kevin Owens could upgrade the U.S. title. When was the last time Jericho defended it?
I don't remember.
When he defended against Roman.
It's been a long time.
I would argue something, though, that you said, Andy. You said that he was the guy. No, he wasn't. Like, to be quite honest, Roman Reigns has been booked as the star of that show for the last 3 months, regardless of who the Universal Champion was. So, to be fair, Owens has really been the comedy relief, and he has been kind of almost the sidekick to Drink It In. So, to me, I think this was a perfect segue. I really enjoyed the promo that he did. You know, he came off as, like he said, you knew I'm this type of person. I did it to Sami Zayn. And Jericho had to admit that, yeah, you know what? 10 years ago, I would have done this myself. So, I thought it was great characterization. Like Doug said, he said, I'll get that title back when I feel like it. So, he wasn't rushing to a stupid, I want an automatic rematch. It makes sense. He now has a reason to come after Jericho. You know what? To be quite honest, I'd rather it be for the main event, but this will outshine the main event tenfold, and they know this, so I'm going to enjoy this feud while it lasts. Brock and Goldberg aren't even going to be on Raw, probably 2 out of the next 4 Raws, so maybe we'll get to see more main events with Jericho and Owens and be the de facto main event while, because Undertaker's gone, and Brock's gone, and Goldberg's gone, so that's your only
My question to you guys then would be, is this going to be the opening match?
To
get everybody interested in it.
No, they'll have a cruiserweight match. Well, not opening, but cruiserweights will come in, and then they'll have that match. So then people get hyped.
Let's talk about the WrestleMania matches in a moment, because there are a number of them so far. So, we'll have to dissect them. But over on SmackDown, though, they actually are making matches for WrestleMania. There are a bunch that are confirmed and some that they're really throwing out there right now. Orton versus Bray now is set in stone after Orton won the number one contendership from AJ Styles. Andy, AJ Styles, Randy Orton, did you enjoy the match?
Pay-per-view, definitely. WrestleMania worthy. They should have had another 10 minutes add to the match. And I think that maybe they could have even added a total of 15 minutes added on. So it should have been like a 35-minute match. And they could have got away with it. And they would have stole the show. And I'm wondering if that's why they did it on SmackDown, so then they wouldn't do it on WrestleMania when you have crap Reigns going against Taker. So, but the match itself was really good. I thought the way they built it up, and I love he was about to go for the Phenomenal Forearm, jumps up and then jumps down to Orton, goes up for the RKO, and then falls back down. That was freaking genius, and that was one of those things that you could just tell that they're good together. So they should wrestle each other, and I'm okay. But they should have had this a triple threat with Bray in it as well. Because then you have, I think you could take three different styles of wrestling, and I think they mesh perfectly. What do you think, Roger?
I agree with you that they mesh very well. I thought, I wouldn't change a thing about this main event. I thought it was well done. I think it was long enough to leave me wanting more. So that the next time that they wrestle, let's say at a pay-per-view main event, and maybe we get lucky and this is the Money in the Bank main event, that they can go 35 minutes and give us that true classic. Like, I thought this kind of whet our appetite. One thing that I would say is that I'm not so sure that both of them will be on the show maybe post-draft, so maybe they kind of felt that they wanted to get this dream match out of there while they could. Hopefully they're both on SmackDown still, but great match. I'm looking forward to Randy's match at WrestleMania. AJ's not so much. Maybe we'll get a little swerve in something else of what they're talking about. But as far as that match itself, that was a fantastic main event to another solid episode of SmackDown. Not the best episode of SmackDown I've seen, but great main event. No problem with it. I want to see more of these two.
This was a wonderful match. The spot with the fake out on the forearm was, honestly, I think that's one of the best spots I've seen in a wrestling match.
And it's strategy wise, smart too. Very smart.
Right. Because I kind of, when I went in watching the match, I was like, oh, I know how this is going to end. This is going to end with him going for the forearm into an RKO. It'll be nice to see. And so when it was all set up for it, it's like, okay, here it goes. Oh, it didn't happen. Oh my, that is awesome. This is awesome. And, it was a great, mark out moment for me. It was a wonderful match. The only thing I wish would have happened would have been a somewhat shenanigan aspect to the ending. Just a little bit of a controversial ending whether it be, oh, my foot wasn't necessarily on the rope, but it was underneath the rope, or something along those lines, where it was something small or something like that. Not to take away from the match, because the match was great, but just something else to kind of continue that even idea that the AJ Styles is getting screwed on SmackDown. Like, he should be given these chances or all these other things. He's jumped through all the hoops, and they keep taking everything away from him. I love that aspect of AJ Styles right now in this way that he's displaying it. I think it's worked great on his promos and everything like that. So that's the only thing I wish would have happened instead of a clean finish. But still, it was a great match.
Now, the one thing that I liked that he said, though, during this, and Aaron, I'm wondering what you think about it. AJ Styles says that he took a B show and made it the A show as well. Is that true?
I have been looking forward to SmackDown every week since the extension, since they had done the draft. And Raw has been, it's been a chore, you know, like I fast forward through the vast majority that, you know, like, you know, TiVo records it for me. And so I just fast forward through almost all of Raw. There were only a few parts that I ever really watched on there. Most of them Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho, basically. For SmackDown, though, I watched the vast majority of it because I'm very interested in the characters and what they're doing with them. You know, there's some that are comedy skits, but there's some that's real wrestling. And I think AJ Styles has really made SmackDown worth watching, obviously with help from a lot of other people, Dean Ambrose, Randy Orton, John Cena, you know, Baron Corbin. There's a lot of other people on there. The Miz, yeah,
Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, and obviously Doug's girlfriend. You know, I love watching SmackDown. It is very good, and I agree with him. I echo all your thoughts about that match. Obviously, Doug with the fake out, tremendous. The thing that I found interesting though is that they have been rumored AJ Styles versus Shane McMahon, and they have, oh my God, have they planted the seeds? And obviously at the end of the match, I think that this was on WWE.com or Talking Smack, where AJ confronts Shane. And so they are totally moving towards an AJ versus Shane match at Mania. Another thing they did on the show, of course, was they had Alexa Bliss. They announced she's going to be taking on all available SmackDown women on at WrestleMania. But they haven't talked really about the tag team titles. You know, right now it's rumored that, you know, American Alpha is going to be taking on Usos. But Doug, let me ask you, for the tag team picture on SmackDown, we haven't seen them in a couple of weeks. Do you think that they're wasting American Alpha or wasting away the tag division right now?
I'm just kind of curious in the fact that they only have real, I mean, for true talent and true purposes of challenging for a belt, you really only have the Usos and American Alpha. And I've seen that match quite a bit. It's been a while since we've seen the match, but that's really the only threat or talent they have as a tag team. They need better tag teams over there, or they need to develop better tag teams. But when you don't have quality tag team matches on SmackDown at all, what's the point?
The divisions are shallow. We see this not only in the tag team division, but we see this in the women's division. I mean, look, you know, SmackDown's women's division is actually fine, but gosh, the Raw's women's division, I mean, it's a 3-foot kiddie pool. There's four women. I mean, there's no need. The cruiserweight works because they have one division on one show, maybe on the wrong show, but all of the cruiserweights are going for the cruiserweight championship. All of the women need to be going for the women's championship, not two women's championships. Like right now, imagine how much better it would be if you could see Alexa and Mickey and Becky and all of them intermixed with Bayley and Sasha and Charlotte. So we're not getting Bayley versus Charlotte part 18 and Sasha versus Charlotte for 7 months every single week. Like, the 10 to 12 women deep would be a much better roster. Same with the tag teams. Why have two shallow divisions when you could have one phenomenal division? Like, it's just, you know, they need to do something after the draft. And I don't know if it's to say, hey, Raw will get the women because, you know, obviously the Raw has made the Divas Revolution push or whatever they want to call it, and let SmackDown get the tag teams. Because right now, American Alpha wasn't even on the show and they're the champions. And Raw's women's division, if that's going to be a focal point, cannot just survive on four women. They need the Alexas, the Beckys, the Mickeys. So, you know, give them super divisions. That's what we want to see. We don't want to see split up divisions. NXT works because all of the tag teams go for the tag team titles. All of the women go for the NXT Women's Championship, and then everyone can go for the NXT Championship. I mean, it's just, it's the better way to do it.
And I would be okay if they actually put the all the tag teams on Raw, bring the women over to SmackDown. that'll work as well to me. Or you could do all the tags on SmackDown, but I don't think you could have both. It's one or the other. And I think that would help both Raw and both SmackDown. But also, I think the Cruiserweights, they should just be over on SmackDown anyways because they taped that night for 205 Live. Why have them travel with Raw and then they have an extra day because they have to tape on Monday and Tuesday? Why do that? That, to me, it hurts the Cruiserweights then. But, when it comes to this, I just want to see American Alpha. I do not want to see him on the pre-show. I want to see him at WrestleMania defending the tag titles against the Usos because I believe both of them work well together, and I think it would be a great match. And this is something that you could almost introduce Kurt Angle into it, which I know he's going to go to Raw, but it would kind of be cool if he went to SmackDown as well. Bring Team Angle back. That's fantasy booking.
And speaking of WrestleMania matches, so far we do have a number of them that are confirmed. We have, of course, Goldberg versus Lesnar, Wyatt versus Orton, Jericho versus Owens, Bayley versus Charlotte versus Sasha, The Club versus Enzo and Cass, potentially this is our own Sheamus, Alexa Bliss versus all available SmackDown women, and the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. So right there, that is 7 confirmed matches. And we also have a list of some that are basically confirmed. AJ versus Shane, Cena and Nikki Bella versus Miz and Maryse, Rollins versus Triple H, Undertaker versus Roman Reigns, Ambrose versus Baron Corbin, American Alpha versus the Usos, and then potentially it looks like it's not happening now, but Big Show versus Shaq. So let's assume that one is not happening. We had, like I said, that was 7 matches already confirmed, and there are 6 more that are rumored. Last year, WrestleMania was only 11 matches, and that was, over, 5 hours or so for that? So they're going to have 13 matches here. Doug, let me ask you, are there any of these that you think are going to get cut or maybe shouldn't even be on, anywhere near the show at all?
I'm a big fan of American Alpha, but at this point, you haven't had them even on SmackDown. Why are you even going to have him on WrestleMania? Big Show, obviously, that match is looking like it's not going to just even make it. But I don't know. It's tough. There's a lot of matches. There's a lot of things that you would want to have out there. I could see the Alexa Bliss versus All SmackDown Women getting moved. Unless you're going to have a surprise, which is what I'm predicting, that you have not seen all the SmackDown women. I'm going to call it right now that whoever wins that match is not even technically been on the show yet, whether it be Asuka or, heaven forbid, but still be kind of funny, Ava Marie.
Oh, no.
God.
Why did you even suggest that? I didn't.
There's another person that did, and I will not take credit for coming up with the idea. But the moment that Keen Ross said it, I was like, oh, no. Oh, no.
100% agree with you, too. Interesting, though. I agree with you. American Alpha Usos probably will get the boot, would be one of them.
Where are the Cruiserweights? Well, you still have to put a Cruiserweight match in there.
It won't be on there, though.
That's crazy.
You have to guarantee you that there will not be a Cruiserweight match on there.
Yeah, Andy, you were telling me this last time. There's no way there's not even enough room to get the main roster people on there. I don't see how they could fit a Cruiserweight. And granted, they could throw in the Cruiserweight ladder match, I suppose, but I don't see, there's no room, right? We talked about this before. There is just not enough spots with all of these. How many titles are we talking about right now? 8, mm-hmm. 2 heavyweight, 2 tag team, 2 women's, Cruiserweight, US, IC, that's 9 right there. You can't oversaturate the market with all these titles and then be surprised. Like right now, I would have the Raw tag team versus the SmackDown tag team championship. That would be my WrestleMania match.
Yep.
And nobody has to change titles. And I would do Bayley versus Alexa Bliss. And I would do my women's championship, let them square off. That way I can combine them 2-1. You could let, Bayley be fighting Charlotte and Sasha for the right to get to WrestleMania. And you could do the same thing so that, both sets of the divisions are trying to battle to be the one who represents their respective brand at WrestleMania. So that could be the feud going in. Because right now you got too many matches. So if you want a Cruiserweight match to happen, some of these matches got to get cut. But besides Alpha and Usos, nobody else is getting cut off that roster. You're talking about world champions everywhere else. Ambrose and Reigns. I mean, Undertaker's going to have his match. Hunter's going to have his match. Cena's going to have his match. AJ's and Shane are going to have their match. It's just, I don't see where Neville fits in now. It's just, unless we're talking about a 13 to 15 match show, which seems
and they've done that in the past. It's not like they haven't, but
I know they're not going to have the Cruiserweight Championship
way back when.
But it ticks me off that they're not doing it. That, I guess that's my beef, because that to me, that's a great champion. You made a big deal about bringing the freaking Cruiserweights in, and they're like, oh, we're not going to have you on WrestleMania now because, you know, we got to have AJ Styles take on, you know, Shane McMahon, just because, instead of having AJ in the title picture. That's why if I had to do this, if this is me doing fantasy booking, I would actually have the SmackDown before WrestleMania. I would have AJ Styles for Shane McMahon, and if AJ Styles wins, then he's in the main event with Orton and Bray Wyatt. That's what I think they should do. If that's the smart thing to do, because then you eliminate that match, and then you could possibly have a Cruiserweight, which I know they won't do, but you could have that possibility. And plus, they also will have a segment, because they always do it now, where they have, like, we'll say The Rock or someone else come out and they do a segment for like 10 minutes or whatever while they set up Triple H's stupid thing. So,
yeah, no. And, you know, taking a look at the previous years, just kind of a quick rundown, they don't have very long. They for the last, you know, ever since WrestleMania 25, they've only had 9-10 matches. Typically, there have been some that do go more, but it's typically around that range. You have to go much further back. That's where you're going to see the 12 matches, you know, on a card. And taking a look at it, you know, I mean, last year, like I said, 11 matches, three of them were on the pre-show. So, you know, there were only eight real matches, because we're not going to count The Rock's squash match as a match. If The Rock doesn't have a segment at WrestleMania, then, yeah, you know, maybe we could have, you know, a few of those matches. But as it stands right now, we're not going to fit all of these on the card. And I think that some of them are going to go away. And it's not going to be the main players. You're not going to see a Cena or a Triple H not get their match. Instead, you're going to see somebody like an Ambrose. You know, he's going to get cut. Or we could potentially see AJ and Shane get moved somewhere else. They could go to the next pay-per-view, the next SmackDown pay-per-view. Who knows? But,
you know, I'm wondering... Know.
To not have AJ on WrestleMania, though, would be a crying shame.
I don't think 100%. They'll do that. I think they would combine Ambrose and AJ before they would cut AJ off the car. I mean... He was just the heavyweight champion, and, you know, they've been talking about how his 2017 was so phenomenal. That would be a big investment in his character to be like, okay, well, you're cut off. Like, that just, you know, that'd be as dumb as leaving Ambrose off. So it could happen, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, so let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster? Are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands-on the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try free demo, see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on items from WWEShop.com. So last show we had a fantasy draft. And I think that we should, you know, talk about what our ideas are for the draft. And I think we all are going in different ways. But Aaron, let's start with you. How did you pick?
Yeah, so we did the first 10 rounds on the last show, and then off air, we went ahead and did the next 15 rounds. And I'm not going to go through every single one of our picks, but you know, my strategy going in was to pick the best available person at the time, but I also went tag team heavy, I would say. You know, I actually don't have the most tag teams, but I would say I have probably some of the best quality tag teams on there. And in the later rounds, I took the people that are going to be the mid-card, who are going to be putting, they're going to be the workhorses, who are going to be putting in a lot of effort into it. You know, I took people such as Roderick Strong, Magnus, you know, Drew Galloway, Jeff Hardy, those types of people. And then I also got my kind of end boss in Braun Strowman. He's a guy that I would use, who I would use as that monster heel, almost like a Brock Lesnar type, because he is so big. He is so strong. You want him to be the guy that your face is able to overcome and help build him up. But as I had mentioned, the tag teams, that's something I've always loved. I'm a big fan of tag team wrestling. And so I really love seeing good tag teams together and ones that can go their own separate way, but then come back as a unit if they need to either take on an adversary or go after a title. And so that's one of the reasons I went after, you know, like the New Day Revival, the Briscoe Brothers, Red Dragon, or there's people that are could be tag teams together that are currently not tag teams. So that was kind of my strategy going in.
So I, you know, I had number one pick. I went AJ because, you know, best available. And, you know, he's the modern day Shawn Michaels. So, you know, after that, I basically said, I'm just going to start because getting two picks, me and Doug had the same kind of strategy of we're going to get two of who we want. So it's a little bit easier for us to predict. I went for the main event and then I went women because I really have always enjoyed women's wrestling. And I think it's something that allows like a very different style, you know, kind of like how the cruiserweights have their own style. Tag team wrestling has its own style. I think women's wrestling has its appeal. It has its own style. You know, I remember, I think it was 2015 when NXT, when the Four Horsewomen were just absolutely tearing it up. And, you know, Sasha and Bayley had one of the better main events I've ever seen in NXT. And, you know, I just figure, you know, having a division around Charlotte and Sasha and Bayley and Asuka and Becky, you know, you give that kind of a division time, they can really develop. And, you know, it's a good contrast to say, like, hey, Brock versus AJ can be one main event. Charlotte versus Sasha can be another main event. That's a quality pay-per-view. And, you know, when I'm trying to draw fans, what I really want to do is I'm going to focus on the women. I like tag team wrestling. I agree with Aaron, but I actually am of the philosophy that it's very easy for me to build tag teams. A lot of times I think you can use underutilized single stars, like American Alpha being a perfect example. If Jason Jordan was going nowhere in NXT for a long time, they signed Chad Gable, put them together, gave him a gimmick. You have one of the best tag teams on the planet right now. Same thing with the Revival. Scott Dawson was just a jobber doing nothing. Pair him up with Dash Wilder, give him a gimmick, put some good becoming him. You've got one of the best tag teams. So I didn't really do a whole lot of focusing on it until later. Though I will say I got the Kings of Wrestling. I picked them as my last two of my 10. I've got Tyler Breeze and Luke Harper, who I would pair in a tag team. It's kind of like your team. Hell no. You know, odd couple, you know, they're going to fight, they're going to bicker, they're going to lose matches, but you can do those comedy segments. Mustache Mountain, if you know, everybody watched the UK tournament, big fan of that. And of course, Enzo and Cass, good talkers. So, you know, I think you can build that division. I'm happy with the draft. One thing I'm going to say is if you look at like the free agent list, there's a lot of quality talent out there. You know, and we drafted 25 rounds each, and yet you could still pick up a lot of solid people out there.
My strategy when going into this was actually, I was thinking more international, a wider fan base. I know a lot of mine are internet darlings. After you get past my three big ones of Nakamura, Owen, Zayn, and then I go into Omega, Ricochet, and Ospreay. I did a lot of New Japan wrestling. I took a list of the what was the best or highest rated matches by Dave Metzler. I looked at a lot of those and saw that a lot of those people were still available. So I went with them. I like Roger. I enjoy women wrestling. So I picked up several. Roger's women's wrestling is he's got the best ones. I hate to say it, but he does. Aaron, I thought you had some of the best tag teams. I did get some tag teams in there. So, but I'm also like the philosophy of Roger. I think I can develop good tag teams with Ricochet and Ospreay and Johnny Mundo, Dolph Ziggler. I don't have very big guys, but I do have a lot of high talented, high energy and stars that are known around the world. So I have a lot of pull. I have some comedy in there because I picked up the man, Joey Ryan, who is going to be my first woman's champion, I believe.
On International Women's Day, Joey Ryan is going to be the first woman's champion. Legalized.
Yes. But I forgot it was internet.
Oh, yeah. That's when you made that comment. That was the best right. ever.
But I have a lot of good talent, a lot of young talent. So I have the makings and the groundwork to have what I would believe maybe could be the best roster maybe in the next 2 to 5 years and can go on continuing and hopefully build off of that.
And Andy, what about you?
Well, I tried to get people who I wish they would wrestle, and like I didn't pick go much tag teams because I'm not really that much of a tag team guy, but I do like
you actually picked the most tag teams. Surprise.
Yes.
Well, that's the weird part, and I also screwed up because I picked up Crazy Steve, and I should just picked up, you know, I should have just picked them all up at the same time, but yeah. You know, whatever. but yeah, that's the one thing. Like Angelico, I really like him from Lucha Underground. I think him and like even Crazy Steve would have like a great match, and I also think you could put, you know, Hideo Itami in there, Ibushi, Zack Sabre Jr. And then I feel like I had some like heavyweights with Elgin and I also think like him and Morgan and Moose and Big Show. I think all those in Abyss as well. You have all those guys together and they could, you know, then they're on their own. But then I think you can have the really good matches, the ones that the fans want that they'll actually, you know, pay to see. I forgot about TJ. I picked up TJP too, and I thought that he would be great with a lot of those workers as well. Finn Balor, I was really happy that I got him. I really wanted AJ Styles, but Roger took him before I could. But overall, I think that I would have picked up a really good show.
Was there anybody that you picked that you kind of think you took too early?
I think probably Ibushi, and I think Itami. I think I could have, and maybe Zack Sabre Jr. I could have got later, and Elgin as well. And I think that I had problems with those picks, but you know, during that time there wasn't anyone I was like, oh, I wanted that person. But then when it came to Roger's pick number 10 with Chris Hero, that really ticked me off because I really, really wanted him, and I didn't realize how much of a fan he was of Chris Hero. But overall, AJ Styles, I mean, like, if I went through everyone's picks that I was really mad with, I was mad about AJ Styles and Chris Hero. And then Aaron, you took, who was it that I was really mad at?
Bobby Roode.
Well, yeah, Bobby Roode and Roderick Strong, which I forgot. And I should have picked up the Hardy Boys opposed to Matt Hardy. I was pissed about that. And Aaron, I just, The Rock, wow. Doug probably had the best pick.
Are you mad about The Rock, or are you saying, why did you take him?
More of like, why, but then, you know, like.
So my explanation, okay, just real quick, is there are other people I could take, you know, in that spot for sure. But if I could get somebody in my promotion who has the star power of The Rock, who only appears even once a year, doesn't matter, you know, at my Starcade or at my WrestleMania, if I could have The Rock there, then that's a really big deal. You know, be like, hey, pay the $40, you know, or pay the $10, you know, for the network to see The Rock, that sort of thing. That was kind of my rationale behind it. I actually thought about taking CM Punk and the off chance that maybe one day he'll come back to wrestling and he would be available there for me. But I just,
you get Punk 0 days a year, by the way, just so we're clear. With
yeah,
that
no, I totally understand. I get him 0 days a year this year and maybe next year, but 2019. Maybe.
So, Aaron, let me ask you, because we're on your roster, because I had like questions for all of you. So your number one pick was John Cena. You went with star power. Totally made sense. But I have to ask you, though, because I feel like there's a Cena conundrum, is that in your company, what do you do with him? Is he still booked as the face that runs the place and therefore is going to squash all of your young talent? Because for him to be Cena, he has to win a lot. Or are you going to attempt to turn him heel and potentially risk the fact that maybe his star power diminishes, no longer being the superhero to kids with the colorful, bright shirts?
You know, I think that we're at a point where turning him heel isn't going to be as big of a deal as it would have been way back when. And so I would keep him as a face. I only get him for about 40 days a year. You know, he's going to be a part timer. So I get him for 40 days. He's off for a little while doing TV shows and everything. And I'm fine with that. But he is a guy that I can have hold the US title. I could hold a middle title that elevates that title, be a bigger deal, like he did with the US title a couple years ago. And I thought that was fantastic. He doesn't even have to be in the title picture. John Cena has risen above that, where if he's not in the title picture, it's not as big of a deal. Instead, I can have somebody like a Seth Rollins, you know, going for the title, or even an Adam Cole, you know, Bobby Lashley, Bobby Roode, those types of people going for the title. And with John Cena, he has a lot of new dance partners in my roster. So as I had mentioned, Bobby Lashley and Bobby Roode, those are two guys that I don't think he's ever faced Lashley. I don't know if they ever crossed.
Yes,
paths.
He has.
Okay.
They main evented a pay-per-view. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then it's been so long to have that come back up that him and Bobby Roode would be really great to see. You know, obviously him and Bray have some, you know, some business that they went through a couple years ago. So there's some really good, you know, for me, having John Cena as my cornerstone, you know, as the main star power guy, I think is great, because then having Rollins right behind him is the workhorse guy who is going to put on really great matches with John Cena, but also with a lot of the other people under him.
And you know, one thing also, I thought Doug's pick, because it ended, he picked up Joey Ryan, which I thought was funny. And of course he's in the women's division, which is kind of, you know, cool.
Which Andy, by the way, why didn't you take Colt Cabana? I took him, and I was thinking that you were going to take him out of all people.
Realistic, I'll just flat out tell you, he was going to be my last pick.
Oh yeah.
And then when you took him, I was like, you son of a, I figured that
pair him with Dalton Castle, you know?
And
well, Andy, I got a question for you too. So, you know, looking at your roster, like besides the fact that you basically took TNA 2.0, to quote Dusty Rhodes, where's the money? And so I say this in the idea of like, if I was drawing a WrestleMania card, I know who I'm putting in my main events. I've got Brock, you know, that's the guy who's going to draw. Aaron's got Cena. Doug's got a combination of Nakamura, Tanahashi, Owens, you know, he's got the international flavor covered. He can sell out, you know, Tokyo Dome. I'm not sure who I see on your roster who can say that get me 70,000 people to an arena like that. I guess that's my question, is that like, how do you put on the mega shows with the roster that are like very young and talented guys, but maybe not mainstream names?
Well, I would actually push more than anything. I would push EC3 and Finn Balor. I'd actually make a big deal about them. And I would also make a big deal about Finn Balor being international. And then I could actually also bring Michael Elgin in for the Japanese crowds, because then they know who he is and he's a monster over there. So you bring him in, and Randy Orton for the U.S. because I would assume that more people know who Randy Orton than probably anyone on my roster. And that's why I really wanted him, because I felt that, oh, he could be the top. You could call him the top dog, and then you could have.
Wait, hold on. You were not happy about getting Orton. That is, you were, this was not like something you, when you drafted him, you said, oh, I'm really bummed out. Even though we all three of us said that was a great pick for where you got him. I thought that was quality value.
At first, yes. I was bummed that I got him, because it was more, I wanted Chris Hero at number 10, but then I also thought, oh, I'll get Ty Dillinger. I'm like, no, I'm like, on that off chance, someone would pick up Hero. And then when you picked him up, I was like, what? And then I was panicking. I was like, crap, who else? And then Randy Orton was on my list, but like, he was further down. I was like, you know what? I'll pick him up now. And to me, thinking back it now, that was one of my smart picks because of that. And I know what I messed up, because I should have just picked up. I won't even talk about that. But yeah, that would be my focus on it. And surprisingly that I got him that late, I'm still shocked. But
I have a question for both you and Aaron. You guys, neither of you have any women wrestlers on your rosters whatsoever.
And
why is that?
Okay, in my defense on this, I was looking at it that there was two shows, as in like there was one show that had that there was four shows and one had women, and that's why I was like, well, I want to keep I want to have as many cruiserweights as possible, and I was gonna try and do a gimmick later on where I had Maryse. I would just give her the title because I had to, and then because there's only a couple. I would come with Sanity. I get one with that, and then also, there's one more that I get as well. But that's how I looked at it. And then I would also somehow, I was going to try and trade and get women to come in as well, and I would just make a big deal about how Maryse is like the king or the queen of my show, and go from there.
Well, and for me, when I was taking a look at it, once Charlotte and Sasha had gone, to me, it was like, well, the best women are basically gone. You know, obviously there was Asuka, but then Roger went and took Asuka right away. And it's almost like when you're doing a fantasy draft for fantasy football, what, you know, if somebody takes Gronk in the first round, maybe somebody's going to turn around and take Travis Kelce or, you know, another really great tight end. And so if people are making a run on tight ends, you want to fill up on other positions instead. And so, you know, for me, if I take a look in, you know, the fifth and sixth round, you know, like taking Bray Wyatt, for example, for me, probably had a much bigger ceiling than, you know, I mean, Asuka is a good pick, you know, but Bayley, let's say, you know, like taking Bayley, you know, at that position. I didn't think taking Bayley was good. I was going to take women actually in my last few picks, but Doug, you unfortunately took Paige, who was going to be kind of my corner. I was actually looking at both Rosemary and Paige, both who you took. And so I was like, well, there goes that. But in my promotion, I would use women very similar to how WCW did. And this isn't a knock at women's wrestling by any means, but I would use them more in a valet type role. You know, so I think about like Macho Man when he had, you know, his three valets, or DDP with Kimberly. You know, I would use them in that type of capacity. So even though I was going to take Paige, I was actually going to use her to be the ring valet for Del Rio. You know, like I have Mike Bennett and Marina Kanellis. You know, it would be very similar to that, where they could wrestle if needed. You know, but that wouldn't be their focal point. Instead, it would be more about, you know, getting that heat, being that manager and helping out in that capacity.
So very like WWF 80s.
WWF 80s, WCW in the 90s. You know, yeah.
I will say the one thing that really did mess up my plan or whatnot. Aaron took Bobby Roode one pick. I mean, I literally, I at that point, I did not know who I was going to take, because I was like, I was ready to just blurt it out who I was going to pick. But as soon as he got done, which is why I went American Alpha and DIY. I picked up what I thought were the best two tag teams to start my tag teams. That was the one thing that really did. It stumped me. The rest of the show, I think I had everybody pretty much lined up how I wanted it. There was a couple of them that I was going to take them a little bit later. But between that and I think Randy Orton, actually, that later in the next couple rounds, when because I was thinking about taking Bobby Roode and Randy Orton back to back. But once you took him, I was like, oh, I need to take all right, I'll go with tag teams then, because this will be my chance, because I don't know who else I want. And
was there a better later pick than Randy Orton? Because I'm taking a look, and Randy Orton, I mean, he is a 12-time world champion who is still in the prime of his career, I would say. And he was picked at number 10 over, or the 10th round. Was there somebody?
Dean Ambrose.
But, Ambrose was one pick before him. Yeah.
Oh, no, but I'm saying same round. He's significantly younger. He's not tainted by steroid allegations. Like, you still have, I mean, it's truth, right? I mean, if you're looking at a promotion, right, you have to consider the fact that, like, someone can make an attack that, like, let's say Randy Orton, in your case, is probably your guy. It's like, well, yeah, your guy is, what's all that different from, like, say, the 1980s when they were all roided up? Like, is this really the image you want to be presenting to kids? Whereas, like, you know, I don't think many people are going to look at AJ Styles and be like, oh, that guy's, or Finn Balor, and be like, yeah, that guy's on roids. Like, well, they're not working. But, you know, we know, and obviously Randy Orton, I think he's on two strikes. So, you know, I could see there's an issue, whereas Dean Ambrose, you know, despite his character, very clean. You know, I haven't heard of any trouble backstage, seems to be a well-worked guy. He's a lot younger than Orton. I don't think he's really had much of an injury history. You know, I could see him being the face of promotion. Like, I think that you could argue certainly that was as quality of a pick as Orton was.
I would say, just on the basis of, for me, getting Jay Lethal in the 12th round, when he was also, yeah, I think he was ranked like number 4 overall in the top 500. That was my, I think, steal of the whole draft.
But I also like your other pick too, with Johnny Mundo. And the other one I was really, that I was surprised that you took him so early, was Kenny Omega, but also because I was hoping to get him. But yeah, that was like, you had some guys that I was like, man, I really wanted those guys. Evan Bourne, by the way, that was a good pick too. I really liked that one. Pretty much, I actually liked everyone's rosters. I mean, to me, they all made sense. And when they were in the direction I thought they would go, and the way you're talking, I'm just ticked that Roger didn't take, you know, Ty Dillinger at number 10, but you know,
but I mean, you can't pass up the death by elbow.
No,
that was, I mean, that. I was happy. Rusev was a big shock to me, especially when at one point Aaron took Baron Corbin. And to me, I thought Rusev, because I mean, to me, I still, regardless of how bad his booking has been on Raw, I think he has main event potential. Like, he's huge. He's a very good talker, despite the fact they don't give him like a ton. He comes with Lana, so built in heat. He's good in the ring. Like, to get him at 16 overall, I mean, that tank entrance is still one of my favorite entrances of all time in Mania. Like, I was thrilled to have him at 16. Luke Harper, I think, is another one. Did I get him at 14? Okay, yeah, 14. Oh, Harper was at 17 or 16. Happy to get him. He's fantastic in the ring. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of talent, which, you know, I think it's Knight, Austin, Aries. I was just really mad that you took Bobby Roode because I was going to pair Roode and Aries together.
One that, like, really made people the most upset was the...
I think so, yeah.
Yes.
Literally, I mean, so, just that aspect of how much I was waiting to blurt that one out right away.
When I picked Cesaro, it was him and Bobby Roode equal on my board. And I said, I bet Cesaro, because he's such a Mark favorite or smart favorite, will be gone. And maybe I can steal Bobby Roode. But I said, I'm going to probably regret this. And I should have just taken Roode, because the moment you said Glorious Bomb, I was like, I should have taken Bobby Roode and taken Hero on the next round and been fine.
Yeah. But overall, I think doing this is pretty fun. And, unfortunately for me, I downloaded a total Extreme Warfare or Wrestling. I'm sorry,
Extreme Wrestling Warfare. Right?
Well, they did the newest one was Total Extreme Wrestling, but it was Extreme Warfare Revenge was the original one that people actually still will play to this day, and they update the rosters for. Is that the one that you downloaded?
Yes, I did. And right before we started taping the show, I downloaded it, and then I started, picking things up, and I was like, I better stop, because at that time, it was 9:55, and I was like, if I continue this, we will not tape the show until probably 12 o'clock Central Time, and there's no way I'm going to get up early, and it's bad enough I stayed up way too late last night. So that's why I'm not going to touch it tonight. I'm going to shut the computer down, and I'm going to go to bed, because otherwise I'm going to play it all night, because... I'm going to take my guys and put them in and see if I can actually get make money off them in the wrestling game, of course. And then I think it'd be fun if I took everyone's rosters into the same and see who elevated fast, who got a TV deal, who got that extra show. I'm curious on that.
Yeah, you should. And let us know what happens, because
would like to know that too.
I will actually and then we'll just go ahead and we'll all go to the website and buy it, of course. And check it out. So I can't wait.
I would say one more thing. I really enjoyed this. I think we should do this one more time with one more twist, though.
Okay.
And not right now, because we can do this after WrestleMania. But so I think this was very fun. But I think we kind of all knew who's going at the top based on, you know, AJ Styles was going in the first round, guaranteed. No questions about that. We knew Nakamura, Owens, guys like that. I think we should do an all-time one. And the reason I say that is that there is an unlimited amount of possibilities when you talk about guys like Hogan and Austin and Flair and Michaels, is that the rosters would be so dramatically different that I really think that you could have a very interesting discussion as to, like, why did you go with Hulk Hogan or Goldberg, or, you know, we're talking about an infinite almost amount of wrestlers.
So you're talking about, like, let's say I want Hogan, NWO Hogan, opposed to Hulk Hogan, you can have, or are you just saying that the person itself, and you say it's in the prime?
You get the person for the duration of their career, and how you choose to book them is how you choose to book them. So if you want Hulk Hogan to be Hollywood Hogan, he's yours. Just like we did with, I can choose to make Roman Reigns heel. So, right. You know, instead of me having to only get like 4 years of Austin's prime, like, I know Austin's a talent. I could say Austin, you know, he's my guy, Stone Cold from the beginning. So that way it's like, okay, given, you know, the wrestlers from the 1970s to now, you know, because that's probably the range of who we reasonably know. How would you book a fantasy promotion? And, you know, let's like really see that, like, when you have access, because right now, reasonably, we probably had like three mega draws. You've Cena, Brock Lesnar, and, you know, maybe The Rock, if you want to say that he's still a big enough name and around enough. But, you know, when you go all time, there's maybe 10 to 12 elite level draws. So it's like you can have a lot more flexibility. And, you know, how would you really book a roster where the talent is infinite? So I think that would be a fun endeavor for us to go down the road. And this was kind of a perfect warm up, because we saw, like, I went women, Doug went women, Doug went international, I went more WWE, Andy went for more of a TNA, a cruiserweight, Aaron went for a more classic, what I would say, WCW. Like, if I had to assign shows, I'd be like, Aaron is WCW, Doug is NJPW, I'm old school WWF, Andy went TNA. And if you look at kind of the way the rosters shook out, like, replace John Cena with Hulk Hogan, that's WCW to me. Like, they're like good WCW, not the Jeff Jarrett, you know, WCW. You know, obviously the Tokyo Dome, I don't think anyone would be surprised with Nakamura versus Omega. That there you go. That'll sell.
Yeah.
I think this was fun. This was a good
if
good
anything
exercise.
Else, I think it'd be, you know, we could do this almost on a yearly basis and just like 2018, do it with all time, 2019, do a different twist at that time, too.
Yeah, but the problem is then we're going to be like, okay, so I noticed that Doug picked this way during this time, so I'm going to try and pick
up
this person
earlier. That's why you have a full year. That's why you have a full year and you do twists, you know?
Yeah.
Well, drawing out of the hat draft.
Yeah.
This is actually why I would do multiple drafts a year, so that instead of, like, picking it, because you could pick one way in this draft and pick a completely different way in the all-time draft. Because you may think differently because the amount of, let's say, women available right now is different than if I go all time. Because, you know, like, he doesn't have to take Cena first because he can get a mega draw in the second round. So, you know, it's a whole different world. But yeah, I think that's something that'd be fun for us to try, especially during the slow season, too, where it's like, oh, look, it's Extreme Rules. And anyways.
That is true.
I think that could be fun.
Anyway, great idea. I can't wait to do this again. And now before we end the show, I want to talk about a couple of things that we're going to do. We're going to have our WrestleMania preview show. We're going to have it. It's going to get released on March 29th. It's the Wednesday before WrestleMania. And then we're going to do a recap show of possibly NXT. And we're definitely doing our WrestleMania after show as well, because we got to talk about it, because who knows what's going to happen, but it may be a long night, but it'll be interesting because I think we'll have some other I'll have some other people over at my house, so we'll be able to discuss and get their views, one person who doesn't watch wrestling and one who does. So I'm
who's
really
the reigning WrestleMania picks champion?
I think Doug.
Overall?
No, I don't think
that's I think someone's asking because they're no.
I think the person who's holding the championship, I can't remember who that was. Andy, Aaron, maybe could you fill our viewers in? Who won last year?
Yeah, I think I won WrestleMania 31, if I remember correctly.
I think you did win 31, but that's not last year.
We tied.
I think you did tie, actually. So I think it's like a skin, so I actually get the win for both. So I'm going to say that.
Well, maybe we'll have to have a belt made up. Just whoever gets the most picks, then we send it to that person. And then they can always be like, what'd you do for WrestleMania? And then hold up the belt. So.
I like this idea.
I do too, because that'd be kind of cool to have a personal one or just have side plates that say something personalized. But anyway, so that's all the time we have for this month's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Doug Hahn, Roger Cave, and Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.